It is good. Oops, better get this on. Well, answer that child, Mom. Answer that child. All right. Now, good morning. Let's just turn that down a smidge. Now, here's in Casey County. All right. Just a couple things. If you still continue doing our little outlines, for the message, if you don't have one, please feel free to get one. There's some in the back and some right here in the front. Also, in the in our monthly newsletter, I wanted to share something with you that it's a challenge. If you read it, that's fine. If you haven't, that's fine. But this is something I want to challenge you for in the year 2023. Number one, I want you to leave at least one thing behind at the altar, such as a burden, a heartache, a sin, or some concern. Just leave it at the altar and forget it. Give it to God and be done with it, and stop trying to carry it into the new year with us. Number two, decide what God wants you to do for Him and do it. That's where your faith comes in. You ask Him. If He opens the door, go through it. And if not, then wait on Him. But decide what God wants you to do and then do it. Number three, we talked about this in our daily devotion the other day too. I want you to, if you would, select five people. Write down on a piece of paper five names that you know that are lost. Pray for those five people every single day. Don't be very, very faithful about it. Pray for them. And if one becomes a Christian, then add another name. And so let's start out with doing that with five people who are lost that you want to pray for every day. And then the fourth one, number four, I think it's exciting when you think about the possibility that if you could invite one new person, just one, one new person each week to church, imagine what would happen within the year you inviting 52 people to church. 52 people. And if we all invited 52 people, statistically the odds are that they think 80% of the people that we invite like that will, 20% will come. So you figure 20% out of the 52, that's still quite a lot of people. And so think about that. Invite one new person every week to come to church and worship with us. So that's the four challenges for 2023. I just wanted to share with you all. And I think they're doable. You know, I think they're very easy. And you'll find yourself growing. Also in the announcements, there's a couple things. Karen and I do a daily devotion. I have a list. Brother Frank's on my morning devotional list. That if you want to be part of that, I do the man, Karen does the women. If you want to get a daily devotional, give Karen your phone number and she'll put you on, because it always comes out as a text message. And we do it 5 days a week. We don't do it on Saturday. No, I do it 7 days a week. And so we can do that. And Karen actually has two discipleship groups. One on Thursday night that they've done for a long time. And then they've started one on Wednesday night. And Brianna's in that, and Rachel's in that group. Henrietta's in that group. Melissa's now in that group. Lisa's in the group. And Donna Martin. So if anybody else would like to be part of that, and you can spin it off. I think Brianna spun off and started another group on Thursday nights. Is that not right?
Yeah. And our youth are starting one.
Yes. And the youth are going to start one. And I think your sister joined.
Yeah, she said she tried to make it all happen as much as she can.
Absolutely. You, to grow in Christ, you have to disciple. You have to. And that's what this is all about. And I really appreciate Karen doing that. The one on Thursday nights, oh, you've been doing that for quite a while. And so we're really growing on the Wednesday night one is outgrowing the Thursday night one. But if you want to be part of that, let us know. And then every morning at 9 o'clock your time, I do a daily devotional on Facebook. And invite people. Just ask people to come and join you. If a lot of times it's, you may not want to invite them to church, but you can invite them to watch us on Facebook to start out or be part of us, you know, every morning at 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock Central, Eastern time, and 9 o'clock Central. But there's just a lot of things that we're doing. And that's exciting. There's a lot of things that and any opportunity we can get Jesus' name out there, isn't that what we should do? And so that's part of it. All right. And Happy New Year's. Starting off the new year right, we're starting off in church. That's pretty good. My grandmother was a very superstitious woman. She always said, whatever you do on New Year's Day, you'll be doing the rest of the year. So you're starting off on church. So that's good. Psalms 146. Psalms 146, verse 2. Give you a minute to find it. While you're doing that, Ronnie, Mickey, you're on my mind, Ronnie. Sorry. Mickey, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. 146, Book of Psalms, verse 2. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. You think about here we are starting a whole new year. A whole new year. We're on the brink, the beginning of 2023. Isn't that amazing? I know some people get really excited that we're starting a new year. Some people get really worried. They're just kind of worried about what's going to happen. And then some are very apprehensive. Some are very scared. And some are kind of anticipate. They just want to know and they wonder what's going to happen in the new year. And I know in 2022, it was a year of heartaches. You know, we had loss this past year, and terrible loss. We all felt that sting this past year, but we also had victories, didn't we? We also had some wonderful victories in 2022, and the Lord has blessed us in such a special way in last year. And we've had losses and we've had gains. We've had ups and we've had downs, valleys and mountains. And whether we like it or not, life is about a challenge. And life is about change. As long as we're here, as long as we're part of this world, change is going to happen. It's inevitable that things are going to change. And I get tickled. A lot of people, change is one of the most frightening things for them. But it's just part of life. It's part of everything around us. We have to change or we get pushed to the side. I want to look at some very simple challenges for this new year that I want to challenge you to do. The first one is, and I really do think this is important because, number one, if you look at your list, it's really important for us to laugh. We've got to laugh. We've got to laugh at and laugh more. Psalms 126:2 says, "Then was our mouth filled with laughter. The Lord has done great things." I think laughter is one of the greatest healing things for us when we do laugh. And it saddens me. I think a lot of Christians think they have to be sewn face or down in the mouth, and they have to be, you know, really down and out to get across to people. I don't think that's at all what God wants us to do. I don't think He wants us to be down in the mouth or look like what would old preacher say, eating green persimmons. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have laughter. He wants us to have joy. It's good to find humor in life, no matter what's going on. And it's good to find humor and able to laugh at ourselves. Because we do make blunders. We sometimes fall down. We sometimes do silly things. We sometimes do things that are embarrassing. But we have to learn to laugh at ourselves. Laugh at who we are and laugh at what we've done. And I think that's a very healthy thing for us to do. We spend too much time looking back, worrying about yesterday. There's nothing we can do about yesterday. There's not a thing we can do about yesterday. So don't do whatever God wants you to do today, so when tomorrow comes around, you don't have to worry about this being a yesterday, not doing anything for the Lord. Do something. We'll talk about that in a few minutes too. Don't worry about yesterday. It's gone. You can't change the past. You know, there's a lot of things I really wish I could go back and undo, but I can't. And I'm sure everybody here this morning wishes they could go back and undo some things that they have done, but we can't. It's gone, so we've learned by those things, and we must live in the present and enjoy each and every day that God has given us, because we don't know if that's our last day or how many days we've got yet to come. And I like the... In the passage, it says that, you know, we need to let God have the future. Let God take care of tomorrow, because He knows what the unknowns are. They're His anyway. How many of us know what's going to happen tomorrow? Anybody? No, we can assume the sun's going to come up, right? If it does, we're going to be in trouble. But we can assume the sun's going to come up. But after that, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't know if it's going to rain, if it's going to snow, or we're going to see the end of the day, or see wonderful things that day. We don't know. But God knows the future, and He wants us to be part of the planning of the future by being obedient today. Don't spend too much time and energy trying to change events that you have no control over. And I do think it's so important that we have a sense of humor. We need to laugh. And I believe with all my heart, that's the reason why Jesus says, suffer the little children. I think because children brought joy and laughter and excitement to Him. And that's one thing I love when we have children in our churches, because they bring joy, don't they? You know, we mentioned this during our Christmas program. I know something's going to go wrong, and I look forward to it because it's fun. Right? We're not Hollywood actors. We're Mount Vernon Baptist Church, and anything can happen, and it probably will. But that was all right. Did you all enjoy it? Yeah, that's all that matters. So we gave God the glory, right? I think as God's children, He wants us to be happy. And you think about it, as a Christian, we can find humor in so many things. Joy in our relationship with Him. Happiness in the things that happen around us. If we can't smile as Christians, who can? So smile more, laugh more. What's the old saying is, smile all the time, let people wonder what you're up to. Right? Because you're hiding behind a smile. Smile and laughter is number one, what I challenge you to do. Laugh more. And enjoy life more and what it has to offer. Number two, you need to be challenged to learn. Need to be challenged to learn. Be a student of life. Probably have heard that before, but we need to be a student of life and what life is all about. And for you and I, life is about serving God, and it's about serving others and growing in Him and enjoying what God gives us. Psalms 119:73 says, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Some people, we limit our blessings because we limit the opportunity to learn. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many read their Bible and do a Bible study every single day? The study shows that only 18% of Christians read their Bible every day. 18%. And then we wonder why we don't grow. I think learning's important to our spiritual growth and to our relationship with each other and growing in our churches. It's important that we are students and we learn. Begin learning what does the Bible have to say? What does the Bible try to tell us? Don't be content with being just spoon-fed. Dig in yourselves and enjoy the promises and the process of learning what God has for us. And you need to learn other things too. There's nothing more exciting than learning something that you didn't know before. When we quit learning, we quit growing. We quit growing, we're dead, aren't we? So many Christians, like the little boy who refused to learn, he said, I ain't going to learn no matter what you to make me do. And sometimes I feel like we as Christians are just like that. I ain't going to learn, God, no matter what you try to tell me to do. But we need to. We need to. If I tell you to turn to 3 Timothy, how many of you are going to turn to 3 Timothy? Or 2 Galatians? Some people will. You'd be surprised. I pulled that one time when I was at Sparksel where Miss Henrietta. When I told him, I said, I'll never forget it. I said, let's turn to the second book of James. Well, people started looking. But there is no second book of James that we know of anyway, right? I think one of the problems that we have to get away from, we sometimes act like we know more than God. We don't. We need to know more about God and what He wants us to do in order for us to grow. And I get tickled. Most people that I come in contact with can tell me more about the Wildcats, can tell me more about their favorite writer, can tell me more about their politics, can tell me more about their hobbies than they can about God. That's a problem. You think about it, when we come to Sunday school, it's so exciting when we come prepared because we know our teachers come prepared. They come prepared to teach, and when we come to Sunday school, it's good for us to take our book home with us and read the lesson and see exactly what's going to happen so we can support our teachers. And you learn. And you learn. There's a lot of good things in our Sunday school literature that we can apply to our life. I believe this with all of my heart. Knowledge is like a well. The more water being pumped out and no water flowing back in, what happens to the well over time? It gets empty. So if you're going to pump out, you need to pump in. And that's through the scripture, and that's through reading, that's through educating yourselves. There's a lot of great things out there that you could read that support the Bible. And there's a lot of good things and just writers out there that just write wonderful things that are Christian related. And a lot of times, just read to read. Just enjoy reading. Enjoy educating yourself on things. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Know what the Bible says. The old adage said, ignorance is bliss. It's not. Ignorance is not bliss. There's no call for it. Because we're in the process of learning and doing what's best. It keeps our mind alive. It keeps us active. It keeps us thinking. It keeps us, aware of what's going on around us. And we need to know these things. Third thing I want to challenge you with. It's important for us to labor. John 6:27 says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Find your place in what God wants you to do. Find out exactly what it is that God has specifically set apart for just you. I think a lot of Christians are bored only because they haven't sought out their niche and what God wants me to do. And a lot of times, all we want to do is be entertained. And it's not entertainment. It's involvement. Worship is not part of you being there and me being here. It's part of you seeking out God where you are, my seeking out God where I am, and then we'll meet God somewhere in the middle with what we're trying to do. Find that purpose. I'm a firm believer, if there's a ministry that we're not doing here at Mount Vernon, if you have on your heart a ministry, do it. Do something, make up a new ministry, do something that you know that God wants you to do, and let's see what can happen. Start your own ministry. If you're serving God, if you're doing what God wants to do, you'll never, ever be bored. You won't have time for it. Just a few suggestions that you can do. You can visit the hospitals. You can visit nursing homes. I think right now they're still iffy with COVID and with a lot of different things with the flu now. But common sense. I think you get a list of the members of this church and give them a call. Call them. Check on them. Invite them back. Tell them we miss them. And I think one of the greatest things that you can do is that you can pray and you can pray and you can pray. And when you get done praying, pray some more. Just imagine what we could do if we come together and we have our prayer life where God wants it to be and how we can grow. And I think one of the greatest things you can do is send out a card of encouragement to somebody. You know, there's just a lot of things that we can do. If we're not doing the ministry, make a ministry up and we'll do it. If the Lord is leading you to do that. Number four, we really need to love more. 1 John 4:21 tells us that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Love is so desperately needed. You look at our world today, you look at our families today, you look at the people around us today, they need to be loved. So many people are confused about love. They confuse it for, you know, other things, and it has nothing to do with love. It has nothing to do with love. We need to love more. Love your family, love your wife or your husband or your children and your neighbors and your on and on and on. God's love never does fail. That's your number one thing as a Christian, is to tell other people about God's love. That's number one. That's the number one thing that we as Christians need to do. Number two, you have a very specific purpose that he has for you. Seek it out, as we've already talked about. How does God show his love to the world? Through you. How does God show his love to the people that you work with? Through you. How does God show his love to the world, that the people in your family? It's through you. He reaches other people through you. Love will always lift God's love to the highest level when we give other people the best. Number five, it'd be better, you'd have a better year if we prayed. I can't tell you how much or how important prayer is. It works. Prayer is something that is never failed us. Now, you may not get exactly what you want. God is going to answer. What is he going to answer? Either yes, no, or wait. But he hears our prayer. And if you don't pray, he can't hear it. Prayer is a simple lifeline to God. And it makes a difference. Commit yourself to prayer every single day. It changes lives. Like we're talking about those five people that you're going to write down who are lost. If you pray for them, what's going to happen in their life? Hopefully they'll become a Christian. Pray for them. Prayer brings joy, comfort, peace, clarity, and reason of purpose. Number six. Try to be and see things in a more positive way. There's enough negativity in the world right now. There's too much negativity in churches and in Christians' lives. It's so negative. Whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. We don't need to be negative. There's nothing that's more defeating than for Christians to walk around with that negative attitude. So let's just, if you find yourself being negative, back up, give it to God and be done with it. Because it seems like we grumble and gripe about everything. If the sun's shining, it's too hot, we complain. If it's too cold, we complain. If the clouds are covering up this, we complain. If we got something, you know, there's people that out there that if you give them $1 million, they complain because you didn't give them 1,000,001. That's negativity. So let's just get rid of it. Because if you get rid of the negativity, you start believing in the possibilities. If we can just get rid of the I can't, or this won't work, that won't work, this is bad, that's not good. If you get rid of all that, you see nothing but good in a positive way. Don't let them make you afraid. Don't let them make you doubtful. Don't let them make you sad or down and depressed, because it's a negative world and that's what they want. It's a ship that's going down and they're trying to take everybody with them. People still need love. Look at the possibilities. Look at the good in people. Look at the hope. Look at the victories that you can have. So here are the six things. Laugh more, learn more, serve more, labor more, love more, pray more, and be more positive. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for allowing us to come together. Help us to grow. Help us to grow in our relationship with you. Help us to grow in our church. We grow spiritually, we'll begin to grow physically, and everybody, and it'll just begin to spread. And Father, we want to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, just guide and direct us that we'll do your will in all things. And we thank you for the beginning of a new year. We give this new year to you. We dedicate this new year to you and to service. Father, as Mount Vernon Baptist Church, that's what we want to do. We want to dedicate this year in the name of Jesus. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Ms. Kayla, what hymn do we have?
309.
Let's all stand.
Thank you.
morning, amen?
Amen.
And again, Happy New Year. James, you're dismissed.
Sarah. said gala. Sorry. Where? Right here?
Right there on the
tolerates.
She just barely get up. Had a day out in the snow. They had a big time. Ezra did.